The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 29 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, thank you for joining us for episode 29 of The Catholics of Oz. Thank you for welcoming us into your homes, your cars, your ears maybe, wherever you're listening. We're very grateful and we're happy to be sharing another episode with you, especially in these very interesting times. Before we begin, my name is Lindsay Sant. I'm the host of Catholics of Oz, and I'm joined by my metronomically challenged sister, Caroline.
Caroline.
So, Caroline, just so you know, before we begin the podcast, for some reason, Caroline always seems to forget to turn off her metronome on GarageBand. And so
yes,
she gets a nice little relaxing ticking in her ear before we begin. So, yes, I've been holding that joke in for a little bit.
Thank you. Everyone right. knows now, behind the scenes. Yep.
That's it. It's all there. Yep. So before we begin, I just wanted to quickly share. We, as always, we need your help to share this show with other people and to people here in Australia and people around the world. And so we're asking you please to the reason why I guess we're big on sharing, especially in these times, is because we want to help the StarQuest Network in accompanying people in these very challenging times. All around the world, there are different people who listen to the different shows on the StarQuest Network, and some of them are in complete lockdown and shut in their homes. Some of them are watching as, like we are in Australia, as more and more restrictions are slowly being put on movement and on social distancing and things like that. And so we just wanted to be with people in this episode and all of our episodes as well, and help to support our community, all the Catholics who are listening and anyone who's listening. We just want to be here with you and give you an hour of fun and enjoyable discussion, and also maybe to hear from you as well. So to help us, you can retweet our episodes on Twitter. The StarQuest Twitter handle is where you can find our episodes. You just retweet us around and tell everyone why they should listen to us. Leave us a 5-star rating and comments on your favorite podcast apps and directories, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast app. That helps us to be discovered by other people and, you know, to get us a bit higher up in the, I think we're in the religion and spirituality section on Apple Podcasts, so get us up a bit higher in the ranks there. And also, SQPN puts all of its shows on YouTube, so you can go to YouTube, find StarQuest, and hit the bell to get notifications about all the shows, including this one. And also, Caroline, I tried this out, and it worked. I actually asked my Amazon Echo to play Catholics of Oz, and it played the latest episode, which is really good. I was thinking of doing a live demonstration on the show, but you know that don't work very well. I'll probably get something like, I'm sorry, I've never heard of that before, so
I thought, better. I've heard Alexa at your house. She doesn't always get things right.
Yeah, so not a good idea. And apologies to everyone who's listening when Caroline just said the A word and activated all your devices.
Sorry.
And also, if you have a Google Play device at home, you can also ask to listen to us on there. So usually I think it's iHeartRadio and TuneIn that you can I think they tend to be the apps. But anyway, just simply say, hey, digital assistant person, play the Catholics of Oz
choice.
Podcast. Yeah. And yeah, let's do this and let's stay together in these challenging times. We want to be connected to you and we want to hear from you and be there wherever you are and in whatever situation you may be. So let's start with Faith Beyond Borders.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh? Oh. Spiritually, ecumenically.
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Yes, I had to work very hard to pass Latin and theology.
Oh, quite. Those are, of course, the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sit this one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one god, man. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
So we have a quite stretched out Faith Beyond Borders today because in this episode, while we are thinking about, you know, the coronavirus, we don't want to focus so much on the negativity and the worry and things like that. There's enough of that. Just watch some of the more partisan news channels and you'll get enough of that already. We're here really to talk about some of the positives, how we can stay positive during these times, the things that we can do, the ways we can support each other. And we've came up with some great resources to help you with that today. So this is a positive podcast. This is a place where you can be with us and find a bit of hope. And I hope that you do feel more hopeful by the end of this episode. So we did want to start, though, obviously, by just setting the context of where we are and what's happening. So, Caroline, can you just quickly tell us a couple of things about how, at this stage, at least anyway, time of recording, how your life has changed or been a little bit affected by the measures that are being taken to control the virus here in Australia?
Yeah, sure. So at my workplace, everyone who is able to work from home, having remote access to their computers or to the network at work, we've been asked to work from home now. So I have my work computers, well, computer plus screen, because I use two screens at work, on my desk at home. So my work is now in my personal space at my home, which is okay.
You sound like a high school teacher.
Yes,
it follows you everywhere you go.
It does follow me. I've only done it for a week now, and I have to say I'm feeling it already. I don't mind working from home. Say we can do it if we're unwell for some reason, can't go into the office, but that would be like once in a while. But doing it at home, I just feel a little bit disconnected from my workmates, even though we can, you know, use the messenger to chat and everything. But, you know, we are cracking jokes. Like there's a lot of Corona beer. You know, we've got Corona beer jokes going around on the messenger and, you know, all that kind of thing. And, so, you know, we're keeping it pretty lighthearted between ourselves at work, which helps. And we are looking at having Skype calls and things so we can keep in touch. I guess the other way that it's affecting me is, I can't get online delivery groceries anymore, which I'm used to doing because it's a little bit hard taking my two boys into the shopping center every time because I end up spending most of the time just trying to chase them, get them back to where we are and not getting all the chocolates off the shelf and, you know, all the rest of it. So
children just live on chocolate though. It's just a chocolate diet for them, isn't
they
it?
They do. They might take after me a little bit, that's why. and also the great toilet paper famine. I have not seen a roll in the shops for weeks. So you know, the struggle is real.
Yeah. Are we going to be, as older people, are we going to be telling our grandkids about the great toilet paper famine of 2020?
It's like the first thing that emptied off the shelves was toilet paper. And now, I mean, to be honest, there's, you know, foodstuffs are starting to empty off the shelves, pasta, rice, you know, the basic things and even dishwashing detergent, all that kind of thing. So my world has definitely changed a little bit. My husband, unfortunately, his work has, he's actually lost work for the next little while because he's in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's something we're going to have to deal with. So far our kids are still in school, so that's all right, which is providing good normality for them. But, you know, we're keeping positive. We're doing well. We got chickens today. We're going to have fun with them.
Yes, it's a good distraction. Buy a couple of chickens, that always works.
That's right, something to distract us with, you know. So that's kind of fun. Yeah. How about you, Lindsay? How have you been feeling about all of this?
Yeah, so look, I'm feeling good. I would be lying if there wasn't a bit of an element of worry, but my worry is not for myself or for the situation that we're in. So remember last episode I spoke about Alexander going to hospital, so when he had that little asthma breakout, it was a virus induced one. So we did it again. It happened just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
He had the same deal, not as intense as this time, but he did have to stay overnight in hospital again. So I spent another night cramped in a hospital bed with him. You know, he was stretched out and I was curled up into a ball trying not to fall off the bed. But at the same time, you know, thankfully we have a health system where he can be looked after. So I'm just slightly concerned that I don't want him to get the virus of anyone in our family. I think, sure. Now, I don't know. I'm not an expert, and maybe it's nothing. Maybe nothing will happen if he gets it. But I do just want to make sure that he avoids it so that he doesn't experience any serious symptoms or anything like that. Having
what's
said
it
that,
like
though,
at, sorry, I was just going to ask you, just out of curiosity, what's it like at the hospital at the moment?
The hospital was fine. So we went through the through the ED to start with, and it wasn't packed. It looked pretty normal. The hospital itself, it wasn't packed full of people. The children's ward where we were, there weren't lots of children. It was the same as last time. I think what's happening is they're doing a good job of actually testing in other places. So I know that Monash Hospital is one place they've got dedicated testing going, but they've also got lots of pop-up testing centers that are coming up as well. So there's one in the suburb next door to me in Berwick. And other ones as well. And then people have got on to the idea that testing, you're not going to get tested if you ask for it. They're only testing people that fit a certain criteria. So I think the demand for testing is probably lower, although I'm pretty sure that the testing hotline that people can call is probably in meltdown with everyone wondering, And fair enough, people would naturally be a little bit worried about their health if they had a sniffle or a sore throat or something too.
Well, I have a sniffle, but
thank God we're podcasting via Skype.
Social distancing.
Yeah. But there's also, I'm a high school teacher, and high schools, I think, will be the very last things to close if a close is required. At the moment, they're keeping us open, and there are good reasons for it. I'm not actually upset that we're being kept open. I think the reasons are logical. I know there are other teachers who are saying we should close schools, and there are actually a lot of people on Twitter where you don't get your advice from or your strategies from when you're dealing with this, where there was a hashtag about closing schools. And I actually wrote a post, a tweet saying, as long as schools are required to remain open, I'll be there for my students. I'm always going to be there for them, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important because a positive adult presence, especially for, my students are high school kids, so they know what's going on, and if there is any worry or anxiety, it's good to have a positive adult presence there to be there. I mean, they're cracking my usual dad jokes. They're not very good, but I laugh at them. but the thing is, I know that most of my students appreciate that, because there's a lot of a lot of lightness in my class, a lot of levity. We're doing hard work, but we laugh about it and we joke about it, and I want to be there for them in that way. But we have been told that it could happen. As of recording now, this episode will come out a couple of days after this comes into effect, but we're being given the last day of term one, which is next Friday or last Friday, going by how this podcast works. And then end of March, And then the first Monday of term two, these are going to be student-free days so staff can do all their remote learning preparation. So we've actually started, we're ahead of the curve at my school, which is good. We're not like a rich private, rich private school or anything, but we have had technology people, including one staff member who's head of all of our technology, who has been well-resourced in the school for 5 years. So we're actually ready to go remote learning. So we're using Microsoft Teams, which has where you can set up things like live events and have kids jump in. And you can teach a class, and we're not using video because of child safety concerns, but we are using voice. So I'll be able to do an audio-based class, and I'll be able to have like a digital whiteboard up that I can write things on and put worksheets
on.
It's so accessible and easy to use, and they can follow along and they can ask questions. They can type their questions up as we go. So we're
excellent.
We're completely ready to go if we need to be, but I've just got to write some lesson plans to get myself ready.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if that happens to the primary schools, what I would have to do for my children, because I don't think there's anything like that. I think I'm going to turn into a homeschooling parent.
I think a lot of people, including myself, are going to be home. Yeah, so I'll be teaching classes, and when I'm not, I'll be teaching Damien. So,
exactly.
But schools are talking about it, and they will, whatever level of technology or not technology that they have, they will resource everyone in the way that they should. So I'm confident that we'll be able to keep that going. Of course, if it does happen, I'll miss the personal connection. We always do. But we're We'll keep going from there. The only other thing where life has changed and it hit me a little bit was, and I was telling you this before the show, is my two sons go swimming. They have swimming lessons on Saturday mornings. And they sent an email the other night, and it was basically saying, you know, here are the precautions we're taking. And I trust them. They are completely safe. They're excellent at what they do. So there's no risk of catching it there. However, because of my worries about Alexander, I've had to pull him out of swimming for now. Mm-hmm. And they've said, you know, you can put your children on hold. So they'll hold his place. And in a couple of months, they'll start calling and contacting. So I went and had that chat with them today. Damien is actually ending his swimming lessons anyway in a couple of weeks because we're going to, he knows the basics and he's going to move on to some other stuff. So mm-hmm. we've talked about tennis or something later on in the year. Yeah. But the thing is, when I went there today, the car park was about half full, which is not normal. It's usually bristling, you know, lots of people coming in and out. And there were less kids in the pool. And Alexander's lesson, which, you know, he wasn't in, but I just had a look at, there was only one child, like one young one in there, which was, yeah. So hopefully people will, you know, they'll eventually start to feel safe to bring their kids again. But, you know, people are taking precautions and you can understand why. Yeah,
yeah,
and I'm sure that's the case in many places around the world as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, so with that in mind, we've talked about how our lives are affected. I thought I might just give a brief update on how it's affecting our faith lives as well in terms of the church here in Melbourne. So I've been following news in the United States where many, if not all dioceses, I think it's most dioceses for sure now, they've had to suspend masses. So priests will say daily mass on their own. Or there might be small masses happening in some places where you've got very small congregations of like 5 or 10 or something. Mass has been suspended by and large. So basically there's no Sunday mass for everyone, for our communities to gather. In Melbourne, the same thing has happened now. So I was at our parish council meeting on Wednesday night. This would be 2 Wednesdays ago when this podcast comes out. And so we were talking about planning the Easter liturgies. And our parish priest said about, you know, a couple of minutes into the meeting, hang on, this is what the meeting's going to be about. I'm just paraphrasing because it's not his exact words, but yeah. And he read us the letter which had just come out from the bishops of Victoria. So for the 4 dioceses in Victoria. So basically, Sunday masses are suspended now. The churches will remain open for private prayer and for adoration and, you know, mm-hmm. Priests, you know, will, and anyone who's there will monitor numbers to make sure that it doesn't go over 100, which is the current limit. And also mm-hmm. there's social distancing. And I think it's been, what is it? It's 4 square meters. So you've got to have like a 2-meter gap of people on either side of you. So they'll be ensuring that. That's where we are. And there's some other pastoral advice. So funerals can continue, although it needs to be with a smaller presence. It can't, you know, mm-hmm. it's got to be what I just mentioned there. Baptisms and other sacraments, anointing of the sick, that can all go ahead still. However,
baptism I was going to be a godmother for this Sunday.
Yeah.
So one of the mothers at the school was Frankie and Harry's friends asked me to be godmother for her children, which I was so excited about. I was going to be a godmother of 4 all in one go. Unfortunately, it's not going to go ahead
until
it's being postponed, unfortunately. So, I was a bit sad about that one. I was really looking forward to it.
The mood in the room at the parish council, I think the first thing we thought was, does that mean we're not going to see each other for 6 months? You know, that's like, but look, this is the situation we're in. And in this podcast, we think a lot of good will come out of this as well. And we'll talk about that as we go through this episode. But I'm just thinking the silver lining is I can't wait for that celebration mass when we all get back together again and how awesome that's going to be. There are good things to look forward to. Even just from a secular perspective, you know, we've our Australian Football League, football is, you know, still going, but with no crowds. So you've got big stadiums and no cheering.
Richmond won last Saturday.
Players. Yes, well done. Yeah, congratulations. But the thing is, again, imagine how awesome it will be suddenly when you've gone from very quiet matches to these filled stadiums, you know, full of people again. So there is a silver lining that life will get back to normal, and that's what we're hanging on to for now.
You know what the other silver lining is? Me and Marilyn, our sister, got to see Queen just before this all happened.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. Lucky we didn't have to miss out on the Queen concert.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah.
Funny. But anyway. Yeah.
All right, so let's start with the first. So we're going to, in our Faith Beyond Borders, we're just going to run through a couple of things, a couple of topics. So the first one is actually about dealing with anxiousness with the pandemic. So, and this is advice from a Catholic psychologist. So I might just give a couple of tips that have come from this article. And then Caroline, if you want to add anything or react to some of the things that she says, please go ahead. But this, they interviewed Dr. Christina Lynch. And she's a supervising psychologist for Denver St. John Vianney Theological Seminary. And she was saying, first of all, that fear about the pandemic is normal. So it's okay if you're feeling, you know, a little bit afraid or a lot afraid. But she said here, being frightened about something that we don't understand is normal. I think the first thing we have to do is normalize our emotions and realize it's okay. We're all uncertain. We don't know what the future holds. She said, we fear the unknown and we want to be in control. How, and, you know, so at the moment, we're not necessarily in control of what's happening yet. We know that governments around the world at different levels are working towards control, and every government has its battle plan for getting to where it needs to get to flatten the curve, which is the phrase we're looking at in terms of the spread of infections and limiting infections. Yeah. And so she was saying, for example, when you're watching the news, you might be watching, you know, footage about empty shelves in the shops. And, you know, and even, and we had in Australia, and I don't know if it was around the world, but definitely in Australia, we had footage of people fighting over supplies, over toilet paper, things like that. And then, yeah, even if you're, and she talked about even Twitter, you know, there are hashtags like toilet paper panic or toilet paper apocalypse, you know, things like that, you know, so. So the online sources we might be used to looking at and the news channels we might look at, they can also make us feel a bit worried as well. But she said a couple of things that we can do in order to deal with some of this anxious feeling. And I think these are really good tips. So we'll just share these quickly. So the first one is get onto advice from experts. And so she's saying, for example, we know that we've been told that there are things we can do to avoid the virus, such as washing our hands and I think my hands are like dry and cracked. I've got 80-year-old hands at the moment with all the soap and sanitizer I've been using.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. But washing your hands, wiping down surfaces, limiting interactions with large crowds. She said for most people, following the advice that's been substantiated, which has been proven to be effective, will diminish people's sense of worry and panic. So that's the first step that people can do. Now, she said for Catholics, when you're washing your hands, why don't you pray the Hail Mary? Or, you know, or we can add to that and say, pray another prayer. She said the Hail Mary takes about 20 seconds. So I'm assuming she must have tried this out at home first. And yeah.
Timed it.
Yeah, timed it. Yeah. But, you know, just, you know, saying a prayer while you wash your hands, which I think is better because I've had songs like Happy Birthday. I know someone was talking about singing Happy Birthday twice. I've had Baby Shark stuck in my head.
Please don't say that.
Terrible,
oh,
yeah.
No.
So
now
say Hail Mary or something else. And what you're doing is you're not doing it for the sake of time. You're doing it as prayer. So you're uniting your worries with God through Mary, which is a wonderful thing to do. Having the Mother of Mercy on your side is a beautiful thing. So totally. Why not when you wash your hands? Yeah. The other thing that she said is that breathing techniques are always really good. So she said breathing is one of the best self-calming tools. You create a relaxing atmosphere and do it twice a day. Make it a habit. She said take some deep breaths. You can close your eyes. Holding your breath is good. So breathe in, hold it for 7 seconds and breathe out. And she says as you breathe out slowly, pray the Hail Mary. She's big on the Hail Mary. You know, but say something. You know, say a prayer of some kind. Again, these prayers, they are calming. Again, it's using this meditation technique to bring us closer to God, which is always going to be a helpful thing. She said daily mass is good. Watching mass on, she means watching mass online. So, and we'll talk about some resources for that soon. But there are many daily masses streamed now and weekend masses, and that can help you feel connected to your community or to a community. So it's a really good tip there. And she said, maybe develop a habit of spending 15 minutes every morning when you get up just to sit quietly and pray, whether you're reading scripture, praying the rosary, doing the divine office, whatever practice you might have. Spiritual communion, we'll talk about that soon as well. Maybe get up, you know, if you've got kids and it's really hard to be quiet, get up before your kids normally get up and spend 15 minutes just sitting quietly and doing something like that. And she also said, and I think this is one that I've taken on board, is to monitor your intake of media, because this can be the one that gets us. And sometimes people don't realize the media they're watching is actually contributing to their anxiousness. So first of all, if you've got a partisan news channel, get rid of it. You don't need it. All right. If they're blaming, you know, politicians, blaming, you know, the nonsense of blaming left and right, you know, all this silliness and whatever. If it's negative and if it's all about, you know, we're all doomed, run for the hills kind of stuff, get away from it. It's not good for you anyway. Even when there's no virus, it's not good for you. And get into news channels that are less partisan. So, for example, I watch our ABC news channel here. I know there are some people that say it's a little bit left, but I think they've actually been really good at not raising the panic stakes.
I like it.
And it's 24 hours. You know, if you watch 20 minutes to half an hour of it, you've got the day's news. You're all good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good there. Stay away from the panic merchants on Facebook and Twitter as well. What I've started doing is if friends or people I know on Facebook have started spreading like panicky news or news that I know that's fake, you know, like things like that, I just silence them. You don't have to unfriend them, but you can silence them for 30 days. And I just do that. And they won't be offended. They don't even know I'm doing it. But I think we have to think about our own mental health first. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure they won't mind. And, you know, they're getting a bit excited and sharing things. You know, they're not bad people, but, you know, they might, as you know, people see something and they share it straight away without thinking if it's true or false. Just silence their accounts for a bit. It's all good. You know, don't worry about it. They'll be back. And, you know, they're not going to say, why weren't you liking my posts? Because your posts are terrible. But, you know, nothing like that. Yeah. Yeah. And the last thing she said is, you know, yeah, we're so used to being in control. Let's give the control and the trust and our prayers to God. God's in control. Let's give it to him and rely on him for everything. I've said quite a lot, Caroline, but is there anything you wanted to say in reaction to that or any other tips you had in terms of it just reducing our sense of fear and our anxiousness about what's happening at the moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can relate to that 100%. I mean, first of all, within our families as parents, I think we need to kind of be mindful of the way we are reacting to the news about coronavirus because the way we react really affects our children.
Absolutely.
So, like, the way they handle it is going to be, you know, reflected on the way we handle it. So if we're really worried, panicking and, you know, trying to find toilet paper in the house or, you know, whatever, being crazy because we're anxious about this whole thing, then our children are going to be really anxious and they're going to be scared. They're going to be really frightened. And what they need us to do is be strong for them, you know? So I think it's really important to, like you said, limit exposure to media and just take in the information you need and just follow the instructions that are given to us. Like, I completely agree that, you know, if you wash your hands, you know, do things to help you get over the anxiety, wash your hands, pray and all of that kind of thing, do the breath, so I think, you know, being proactive about trying to be proactive about anxiety is a really good way to go about it. You know, my husband, for example, he's a naturally very anxious person and he has been tending to kind of slip into that, you know, panic mode. So, you know, we've worked together and, you know, support your spouses, you know, like support your spouses. You know, so we sit down together, I hold his hands, I tell him to take deep breaths, I tell him to put, you know, think of something pleasant in his mind and, you know, and get his heart rate down. You know, I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, just use these techniques basically to kind of calm down. And then we talk about something else and get the mind off this whole thing, you know, and we have to bear in mind too that this is not a situation that is going to last forever. It's just going to be a hard time for, it may be several months, and it will take a while to come out of it, but we will come out of it. And I think that's very important to remember. You know, thank God we're not in a World War situation. So, you know, we could still live in our homes and all the rest of it. But we do need to be mindful of hygiene and mental health and all the rest of it. So, yeah, I think she is giving really good advice in this article. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's talk about children, because that was the next article we had. Oh, and let me just add as well, I should talk to you about sources and news sources about where you get information from. Remember that there are lots of official governments, whatever country you're in, there are lots of official government websites and sources. Use those as your first port of call, because they'll be the ones that have the information. Like, for example, our chief medical officer for Australia, as well as the chief medical officers for all the states and territories in Australia as well, they've all been meeting and they've been advising the Prime Minister and the state premiers and et cetera, and the territory leaders. And so their advice is what we've been following, and their advice is what's published. So you don't really even need to go beyond that if the news, and you don't need to watch the news. Don't worry.
No.
Again, if it's bothering you, if you don't like the filter it's coming through when it's being shared on the news, then just get onto official websites and that's all you really need. But let's talk about children. So have your children been talking about this much at all? Have they kind of detected what's tell us the ages of your kids again, first of all, and then tell us if they've picked anything up.
Sure. Well, you know, I have two boys, Frankie, who's 8, and Harry, who is 5, and they're both very, very perceptive little guys. Whatever Phil and I will say, they will repeat it back to me and back to both of us. So we really have to be careful about what we talk about in front of them and, you know, how we react and all the rest of it. So, I mean, like, a funny thing is I do tend to get colds quite easily anyway. So when this first started happening, I did have a cold. And, you know, Mummy, are you sick with coronavirus?
Oh, no. Of course, yeah.
No, Frank, it's okay. It's just a cold. It will go away in a couple of days, you know, and it went away and I was fine. You know, so I just sit down and explain to them, you know, they're smart. Kids are smart. Yeah. We should give them that credit. You know, they understand everything. So we can just speak to them frankly without scaring them. Just say, you know, there is a virus going around, but we keep our distance. Let's just make sure we wash our hands. Mm. You know, when you come from school, let's wash our hands. And we won't be going to indoor places just for now, but let's go out to the park and have fun in the park, because for now we are allowed to, we know we're not locked in any kind of lockdown. So, you know, we're taking them out to outdoor spaces, and you know what? To be honest, they're not really fussed because, you know, we've tried to keep life as normal as possible for them. So at the moment, you know, they're doing really well. They're not anxious at all about it. So I just hope we keep that way. If we're in a lockdown situation, we might go a bit stir crazy in here together. But I mean, that's why I got the chickens. Maybe go in the yard.
You got chickens to play.
Put the cats and the chickens together and see what happens. You know, have bit of fun.
Put the cats, the chickens and the kids together and see what happens.
I know. I'm just going to put them all in the yard and see what happens.
They'll be playing Animal Wars.
Totally. So, you know, if we just answer their questions honestly, you know, and don't hide anything from them, I think, you know, they'll get through it quite well. I think they're okay. Kids are quite hardy little things, you know.
They are. Yeah. From my perspective, so first I've got a 2-year-old and an 11-year-old. The 2-year-old, it doesn't matter. But
he's happy, right, so isn't he?
He's happy as he can be. In fact, he's a dangerous one because he's at the stage of spitting everywhere and he thinks it's funny to come up to your face and spray you with saliva. Sorry, everyone, but that's the reality I'm living in at the moment. So there's a lot of face washing going on in my house. And he's a drooly kid still. Damien, though, is 11 years old and he's aware of what's going on, because at school, you know, they've been taught about washing hands. He's noticed the difference at school. We've got to wash your hands often. You know, he saw it swimming this morning that, you know, the situation's a little bit different. So, you know, and he's seen some news reports or whatever. He's not worried, though, but he is aware of what's happening. So, and I'm going based on, you know, the advice that's in this article that we're shared from United Nations, but also just from what we've been doing as parents anyway, is, you know, I've been just listening to his questions and answering them honestly without going overboard, but just some general answers down with his questions, reassuring him, you know, we're going to be okay. We're, you know, we're washing our hands. We're doing everything we should. We're following directions. So, we're going to be okay. I've told him things like that. And the other thing, though, is some healthy distractions good too. So he knows that I like playing X-Wing miniatures, which is a tabletop game. It's like you get all these like spaceships from Star Wars, like X-Wings and TIE fighters and, you know, all the expanded universe ships and whatever. And basically it's like a dogfighting kind of game where you've got to pick the maneuver that your ship's going to do, how you're going to shoot, and you try to outsmart each other. It's like chess, but with spaceships, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And so I bought Damien a set the other day, you know, that he can use as well. And so now we've been playing against each other, which has been good. And he's been enjoying that. It's become a practice, you know, something that we do often together. So it's actually become a bit of a bonding opportunity too. So there are all these great ways to bond. I'm very upset that he beat me in his first game. That wasn't meant to happen that way. You know, he was using the New Republic faction. I was using the Empire, and I guess because I was using the bad guys, I lost. And you know, the thing is, none of us held back. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you know, because he's a kid, I'll go nice on him. I was actually trying to beat him, but he beat me. The rolls of the dice went his way. I think that's what happened. So, yeah. So there is going to be a rematch after the recording of this podcast, and I'm planning on winning. Yeah,
I would like to know who wins.
Yeah, but hopefully me. And the other thing I thought I'd share about things that we can say to our kids and do with our kids. It talked about in this article about spreading kindness, and I love this. Showing, you know, there's lots of news stories about terrible things, but there's lots of stories about great stuff that's happening too. So on Facebook recently, I shared two different things. The first one was there was an Italian man who sings opera, and they're all in lockdown, and he got out on his balcony and he sung opera for his street. And my God, and I say my God as a prayer, it was amazing, you know, by God's grace, how beautiful this guy was. And I loved it. It was great. And so, yeah, you can check out things like that. These are good news stories, you know, and I just thought what it says, this man singing, you know, at the top of his lungs, what it says about the human spirit enduring everything, you know, now and in the next life as well. You know, it was so beautiful. And then a couple of days later, there were some nuns in Rome singing from their rooftop on a church out to all of Rome. And again, it was just
so
beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah. And so it show these beautiful things, show the kindness, show things like that our stores have opened up at 7 o'clock in the morning from 7 till 8. So the only elderly and disabled people. You know, the fact that people are collecting hampers and giving them out. I mentioned previously our next door neighbor who's elderly, you know, checking on her to make sure to see if she has all of her supplies. You know, so knowing that that kindness is there, let your kids know that there's all this kindness that's come out of this situation. I think focus on that more than anything else.
Yeah.
So
true.
Yeah. So that's a couple of things about what we're doing with our kids. If you who are listening have any tips about what you're doing with your children, please tell us as well, because I'm sure Caroline and I will take them on board very, very quickly.
Yeah.
I just wanted to take a short break in our topic to mention something else that's been happening on the StarQuest Network. Have you had a chance to listen to the daily Let's Talk shows at all yet, Caroline?
I have to say I've been so busy I haven't, but sorry, yep. But
that's all right.
I do love Let's Talk, and I'm going to get onto it. Don't you worry.
Well, good for you that the shows are only about 10 to 15 minutes each, so it's not too hard to catch up.
No.
So what's happening is the StarQuest Network has relaunched temporarily, just while the situation's going on, but temporarily relaunched the Let's Talk show, which is a show that we all at this podcast loved anyway, so it's great to have it back on our feeds. So it's being distributed in two ways. It's a live show on Facebook, so they're doing it on Facebook as a live recording. And it's now the timings, check the SQPN website. So it's sqpn.com/letstalk, I think it is, or just Google Let's Talk, it will come up. And the show... now, in terms of time, it's actually produced live at 1:30 a.m. in Australia.
Yes.
But that's okay, because you can also catch up with the recording the next morning anyway. So when you wake up in the morning, there's a new Let's Talk. So different hosts from different shows are all contributing. So Dom is leading it as the main host, and then everyone else is just signing up. So I've signed up to do a couple later on down the track as well, and I can't wait to contribute to that. And it's not a show to talk about necessarily... the conditions we're living in and what else. You know, the host will share that, which is good. But essentially what we're doing is we're just sharing tips on things that you can do while, you know, while we're in lockdown. And I think for me, the most important thing really is that this show is accompanying the SQPN audience and anyone else who wants to listen during this time. So we just want to reach out and let anyone who's listening know that we're here for you. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. And there's lots of fun discussions and tips and things there. So sqpn.com/podcast/letstalk, and it's let's hyphen talk. So check that one out, and it will definitely be in our show notes. So don't worry about typing things in manually. Just hit up our show notes and you'll find it there. So the next thing I wanted to mention, and Caroline, you can say a couple of things about this as well, is tell me what you've noticed about the explosion of masses online at the moment, Caroline. What have you heard and seen?
Well, I was just about to say one of the reasons I haven't listened to Let's Talk is because there's been an explosion of so much content online. So, I mean, there have been heaps of masses, and I've been really enjoying watching the different masses from all around the world. So there was one I watched last Sunday. It would have been a Saturday mass, but it was from the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Hope from Wisconsin.
Lovely.
Champion Wisconsin, which was really good. And the priest was amazing. I don't know his name, but he was really good. I loved his homily. That was really great. I caught a bit of Father Roderick's mass. It was in Dutch, but I got to see some of that, which was really good. There was one from the Melbourne Archdiocese, you know. So, I mean, there's a heap of content out there. And, you know, the Catholic broadcasters are extending their broadcasting. They're providing extra content, you know. So, I've just been having a great time exploring all of that.
I think this is a real positive that's come out of it, because suddenly the worldwide church has just woken up in a way. You know, we've been talking about getting the church online for so long, and now it just exploded onto the internet. Yeah. And it's great. It's so wonderful. Yeah. So I might just share very quickly some of the places, and these links will all be in our show notes, but some of the places that we've heard of, and this is just scratching the surface of where Mass can be heard online. So if you want to hear your Sunday Mass in certain places, and some of these are also doing daily Masses. So first of all, a plug for our parish. Holy Family in Dufton, our parish priest, Father Michael Paiopili, is getting online streaming ready for Masses. And so that's going to be my family's 11 o'clock on a Sunday, so catching Mass. I think it'd be great to have our connection. So if any Holy Family parishioners, if any parishioners from Holy Family are listening, this is how we're all going to be connected together, by watching Mass together. So even if we're not physically in the same church building, which is what we prefer to be, we're all going to be together listening to Mass with Father Michael. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So I'm looking forward to that. So the link to our website, our parish's website, is there. And I know that Father Michael did talk about setting up a Facebook page as well, so having another way to let people know about it. So I'm looking forward to that happening. Just before podcasting, Father Rob Gallia posted on Twitter and on Facebook that he's going to do Sunday Mass at 10 a.m. as well. So he'll be doing 10 a.m. Masses. So I've put the link to his YouTube channel, but if you just look for Father Rob Gallia on YouTube, his Mass will be there. And Caroline, you also mentioned that St. Patrick's Cathedral is doing its 11 a.m. Masses at their website as well. So I've put that put the link for that too. So going more internationally, the United States, I just wanted to give a plug to a couple of things that have come across my reading, and also some ones that were recommended in our Slack channel as well. So first of all, Father Corey Steaker, I'm happy to plug for him. He was the host of Let's Talk previously, and we love him a lot, and we loved his show a lot. So
he is
streaming his daily Masses and Sunday Masses. So we've put a link to his parish, St. Mary's Malta, not Malta that we,
Malta.
Where our parents came from, but Malta, Montana in the United States, but close enough. We still like him anyway.
It's just as good.
But Father Corey, if you're listening, I will be watching your Masses from time to time as well.
Also me, yes.
Yeah. Yep. So we'd love to plug for that as well. Word on Fire is also doing daily Mass from Bishop Robert Barron's chapel. And it's him and I think Father Steve Grunau, I think, is the other. So they're doing their Masses from that chapel daily as well. Now, I just want to thank Don Bettinelli. He mentioned to me that CatholicTV.org is also sharing Daily Mass, but they also pray the Divine Office as well. So if anyone wants to join in with the Divine Office, they can do that too. Noelle Crow from American Catholic History, she let me know that the Franciscan University of Steubenville, their chapel, is doing their masses live streamed online as well. So another great resource. And you mentioned it before, Caroline, but Father Roderick, who we love too, we love his work.
We are big fans.
He's live streaming his masses on YouTube through his YouTube channel. So if you follow him on Facebook, you'll be able to see his schedule and when he's live streaming. And I didn't put this in the show notes, but this happened. It came across my flicking through the internet recently. Greg and Jennifer Willits, who we love their show as well, they have a ministry called Rosary Army, and they've started live streaming the Rosary so people can join in. And you can just look them up on Facebook and on Twitter, and they'll post when they're doing the Rosary. I think it's daily. I could be wrong about that. But if you want someone to pray the Rosary with online, that's there. And lastly, Dom gave me another resource. Oh, did he? I'm not sure actually if it was him or if I found this online. Whoops. another resource here. Thedialogue.org. I think it was from Dom. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Thedialogue.org has a webpage which has all these ways to stay in touch with the church. So it's not just Mass, there's other resources there too. So the link for that is also in our show notes. So we wanted to share that with everyone, so that there are ways to stay connected to the church. And I love, love, love that just your average parish priest is saying his personal daily Mass with a phone in front of him, nothing too high tech, and he's just opening his personal Mass to everyone. And there are priests all around the world of all languages who are doing this now, just with a smartphone in front of them, who are doing their Masses. And it doesn't matter what the camera angles are. It doesn't matter what the sound quality is like. They're opening up their lives and their Masses to us. And we as the lay are so grateful for it, that they're doing that for us too. Caroline, before we move on to our next topic, you were talking about plenary indulgences now that have been granted due to coronavirus. So can you just give us a quick plug for that? And I'll put the link in our show notes for that too.
Sure. Yeah. So this just happened not long ago. I think maybe yesterday it came out. But yes, the church now is granting plenary indulgences for corona patients and caregivers. So I'll just tell you exactly what it says. So the decree grants a plenary indulgence to coronavirus patients quarantined by health authorities in hospitals in their home, if with a spirit detached from any sin, they unite themselves to spiritually through the media to celebration of Holy Mass, the recitation of the Holy Rosary, to the pious practice of the way of the cross or other forms of devotion. And this is also for their carers, you know, people really affected by coronavirus. That is amazing. Let's take advantage of this. I mean, a lot of us are affected by this. So, it doesn't take much. It does come with the usual, criteria for gaining a plenary indulgence. You know, I think you have to been to confession, you have to be, detached from sin, you have to all of those things. But let's just take advantage of it. I just happened this morning to hear about it. I'm listening to Relevant Radio in the morning. I usually listen in the morning because I like to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy along with them just to start my day. And then they were speaking about this. And so they were streaming the Stations of the Cross live from their chapel that they have there.
Nice.
And it went for about half an hour, and it was just the host, Drew Mariani, and Father Rocky, their station, the priest there that helped set up the station, and he's their, pastor and looks after them there. And it was so nice to just pray along the Stations of the Cross with them, and they were really encouraging this. And, they they were making it available, you know, another resource online. And it was Friday, so their time Friday at the 3 o'clock hour, you know. So
yeah.
It's a very special time to be praying that. So not only did I get to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, but straight after that did the Stations of the Cross.
Mm.
Okay, it took me about an hour, but, you know, I was actually just lying in bed watching it because it was about 7 a.m. and a Saturday morning for me. So, yeah, look, we're going to put this article in the notes. So go through and have a good read of it and just take advantage of this. It's a special indulgence granted by the church for us for during this time, another ray of hope for us, you know.
Yeah.
So, I think it's such a positive thing for us.
Yeah, a great gesture by the church. I know from now, I didn't read this before the podcast, so I'm going back from memory, but I know that during the Black Plague, there were indulgences given as well. So this is a beautiful gesture of hope from the church.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. The other thing I was just reflecting on listening to you talking was just what a great opportunity this has become for spiritual growth, for developing spiritual habits too. Like maybe we've struggled in our busy lives to develop spiritual habits. We were saying, oh, I'm too busy to do this. But now suddenly there are a lot of people that, you know, our lives have changed. And if our lives have changed, change is always a time to insert new things into it. And so because we readjust our lives, we reorganize, you know, based on the change that's around us and the new, you know, when our schedules have changed because of something and we have to rework how we're going to do something. So as we're reworking our lives and our schedules and the things that make us busy, as we're filling it in with activities, fill it in with some prayer as well, or the resources we just shared, the beautiful Relevant Radio stuff you were talking about, and all of us most of us who are listening will have other resources that they use too. So fire them our way.
Why not share with us too all the resources that you guys find?
Yeah, we'd love to talk about those next time we podcast. We'd love to share those too. All right, so let's move on from there. And I wanted to just expand on the idea of streaming Mass. So most Catholics, there will be some Catholics who will be able to go to Mass for different reasons. You know, there are small Masses they can attend and things like that. But the overwhelming majority of Catholics won't get their Sunday Mass in person. And our bishops have all said that the Sunday obligation is, you know, suspended until they say it is, basically. And a lot of people want to receive communion. You know, this is a very special moment for us where it's like it's the highest point of our being at Mass. It's being on the mountain with God. You know, it's right after the word has been broken, where Jesus speaks to us in his word and through the homily, and then we receive Jesus. So that's this beautiful thing in the liturgy. But now suddenly that it's absent. And I know that absence makes the heart grow fonder, which is good, because our love and desire for the Eucharist is actually growing during this time, which might be a good thing. For anyone who's worried, the Catechism says that we're actually only obliged to receive communion once a year. All right. That's our minimum. So don't stress if you're thinking, oh, but I wanted to receive it every Sunday. While we're cut off from this sacrament, if you are cut off from it, there is other things that we can do to replicate some of it in our lives. What do sacraments do? They give us grace. It's God giving us grace. We participate through our actions and our words, and God loves us more and more. You know, it brings us into closer relationship through sacraments. That's what we're doing. The sacraments can restore broken relationship. They can heal. They can bring us closer to God. And that's, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do. And there's tons more theology of the sacraments, which I'm not going to go into today. But if we're missing communion, have you thought about spiritual communion? And that's what I'd like to briefly talk about today. And spiritual communion, in my research, there are lots of different articles and different things that we can do. But essentially, what is spiritual communion? The simplest definition is developing a desire for the Eucharist, all right, or developing a desire for Christ in the Eucharist in our lives. And so what happens is when you're cut off from Eucharist, and even when there isn't a virus around in the world, there are people who are cut off for different reasons. So it might be because of health. It might be because of work. You might be working in Alaska. I don't know. There might be a church in Alaska. I have no idea. But, you know, you might be in a remote area.
I'm sure there are, Lindsay.
Yeah. There might be, you know, yeah, maybe there is. Sorry, any Alaskans who are listening, you can tell me off. Please go ahead and tell me off. All right. But think of the Amazon. Pope Francis put out an encyclical recently, or an exhortation, I should say, about the Amazon. There was a synod on it because there's a lack of priests there, and there are lots of faithful in the Amazon who are not getting priests. So wherever it is, whatever the reason, but in our special circumstances with this virus that's cut us off from being able to receive communion, we can talk about spiritual communion, which is during our prayer time, and you can do it anytime. You can do it while you're listening to Mass on, you know, streaming Mass. You can do it while you're on your own or praying or doing the Station of the Cross, Caroline, whatever it is. But it's simply growing your desire for Christ in the Eucharist. I've got an article here which I'll share in our show notes as well. And it talks about how spiritual communion and communion are technically and essentially the same thing, although spiritual communion is a less perfect way of receiving Christ in communion because it doesn't embody the physical actions, you know, the prayer that surrounds it and things like that. However, having a desire for Christ in communion still gives us God's grace. You know, God's grace still works in us because we're saying, I want more of you in my life. I'm entrusting my life to you. You are the highest point of my day. You are, you know, all those kinds of things. We are telling Christ what it is. We're making an act of love. We're making an act of trust. We're making an act of desire. And we're saying that 100% of all of these things, my love, my trust, my desire are for you, God. And God in return is listening. God is hearing and God is acting in us in our prayers. And so in that sense, we are having communion with God. We are uniting ourselves with God in a special way in that moment. Again, this doesn't replace communion, you know, the sacrament of communion, but it brings us close. It brings us so close to a genuine uniting with God. And there are so many ways that you can do this. I've got a whole lot of prayers that are here on different websites. There are so many websites. If you type spiritual communion, there are classical prayers, there are modern prayers, there are prayers of saints, all these different things. So for example, Saint Alphonsus Liguori, this was his spiritual communion. It was just a simple paragraph. He said the following, "My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart, as though you have already come. I embrace you and I unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen." So simple, isn't it?
Beautiful.
And then some people put out formulas, you know, follow these steps, do this, do this, do this, do this. There are so many things. But essentially, if you haven't got a sheet with prayers in front of you, simply just tell Jesus, "I desire you in my heart right now more than ever before. I desire you in the same way that I would desire you in communion if I was at Mass." Mm-hmm. And then sit there quietly and let God do his thing. Let God do what God does best, which is fill us with grace. Yeah. So there it is, spiritual communion. did you want to add anything about that, Caroline?
I've done it a few times when I've heard Mass on radio, for example, and they say that exact prayer. So I guess it is nice to be able to do a spiritual communion when you're not physically in Mass.
And I would say to our Catholic brothers and sisters, our Christian brothers and sisters, this is why we still have hope in this time. Hope will never diminish. We're not running out of hope. No. In fact, I would say, honestly, even though there are things that I'm worried about, I feel more hopeful now than ever before.
Yeah, you're so right.
I think God works best in a crisis because we become more aware of the presence of God when there are problems, I think. And let's take the grace of this moment, which is going to end, as we know, and move on from there. This show is going to go a little bit over time. I just got to let everyone know, but we're spending more time with you than ever before. If you want to take us in little doses, you can pause and listen to
just
us
pause.
Next time, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll still be there.
We'll be back. Yeah. And if you paused, hello, welcome back. one last article that we'll share with you, and then we're going to move, and then it wouldn't be a podcast with Caroline if there wasn't a bit of science, so we'll do some science as well to round it out. We came across another article from crosswalk.com, and it has 10 tips on how Catholics can exemplify their faith during COVID-19. We're not going to read all 10 tips. However, there are a couple of things that did stand out to us. So, Caroline, can I throw it over to you? What's one or two tips, and even tips of your own, about how Catholics can exemplify their faith during this time?
Okay, so one of the ones I like is do not surrender to fear.
Nice.
Okay, so as Christians, we are called to put our faith in God in a crisis. So, yes, we do tend to want to control everything. Everything has to go our way. You know, we've got to be able to, you know, have our schedule, do things the way we want to do. And if it's not like this, we're going to panic. Don't panic.
Yes.
God knows everything. He knows before we know, and he knows what we need before we know what we need. So just put your faith in him, and especially at times like this. I mean, I've had to do it many times in my life. I'm sure all of us have had to, you know, put our faith in God. So, that's one of my favorite things. I guess the other, I might just pick up one more, is practice personal hygiene. So it's not just for, you know, wash your hands, sneeze into a tissue, all of those kind of things to minimize, not just get infection coming to yourself, but also trying not to spread disease to other people. So, you know, isn't it annoying when like someone's got a cold, they sneeze on you and you've got a cold? I mean, it's not very considerate. Yeah, well, yeah. Barring kids, because kids don't, you know, they don't understand. Yes. But adults, let's be mindful. If we're unwell, even if it's not with this coronavirus, even if it's a cold, a flu, a gastro, whatever, be mindful of other people. Try and keep if you're unwell, a good idea is just stay home until you're better. Unless you really have to go out, then try and keep the disease to yourself. Wash your hands once again, you know. If you're going to sneeze, don't project it all out into the world so that everybody can get what you're getting. I think it's really important, especially for those who are vulnerable, immunosuppressed, ladies who are pregnant, the elderly, all that kind of thing. I think it's really important to be considerate of others. And as Christians, you are called to be considerate of other people.
Yeah, nice one. I liked tip number 8. This really resonated with me. It says, be the church. This is great. It says, in the midst of fear and uncertainty, Christians have a tremendous opportunity to be the salt and light of the world. And this picks on Matthew's gospel where Christ says to the people listening, you know, you are the salt of the earth. You are a light to the world. And basically because we are reflections of his light. And so it says, imagine what the next few months could look like if the church took the lead on giving, on compassion, on community care, of all these things. Imagine what a testimony our lives would be if this is what we prioritized instead of fear, worry, where am I going to get my toilet paper, things like that, you know, all of that. And it says, what an impact we could make on the world and what a light we could be. And essentially by extension, Christ, we make Christ known and loved by our actions too. It says the greatest testimony of Christ's love is Christians who love the world the way Christ does. By our love, the world will know we are his. So, this is an opportunity for sure to be the church. And I think be the church at home there as well. I reckon when you're hearing daily mass, light a candle to make the time different. Arrange the chairs differently so that if you're sitting in front of the TV or the radio or the computer screen, whatever, arrange the room a bit differently so it's like church. So
and no
be the
iPads,
church.
Kids.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Frankie was asking me this morning, when we're watching it on mass, can I play iPad? No.
Unless there's a Roblox or a Minecraft mess, you know.
Well, yeah, could be.
I did read that people were setting up, not for this, but in the past, people had set up Minecraft churches. So, they'd build the physical pews out of blocks and things, and they would have a giant video screen like it was a drive-through. I think this was more sort of the Protestant traditions that did this, but if there are any Catholic priests listening, maybe, I don't know, if you're totally Minecraft, maybe you could do this, but they'd have
drive
a screen and
communion.
They'd beam their mass into Minecraft.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So for there's an idea. There's a tip from us. And the article has other ways that we can be especially Christian witnesses in this time. So just the challenge is there for Catholics to step up now. This is our time, people. So our mission is here in front of us. Let's do it. Let's get on board.
Let's go for it.
Yeah. All right. So, Caroline, let's do this. We're going to move now into talking about some science.
Ah, what a fine day for science.
You have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Can you reverse the polarity?
I'll do my best.
And so we've got some fun topics here. All right. So there's a couple of interesting things. So I know that you're going to give us a bit of background on what a bacteria and a virus is. But the overall topic is hand soap versus hand sanitizer. What works? What doesn't work? There's been all this information. Caroline, give us the science on hand soap versus hand sanitizer.
Okay, so I want everybody to get their notebooks out and their pens. This is going to be a bit like a lecture. And your soap. Okay, so I thought we'll cover bacteria and viruses because those are the most common pathogens, you know, that we are unwell with most of the time. And at the moment, the virus is the big one. So, I thought I'd cover basically firstly what viruses, what a bacteria is, and what they do to us, and then how we can get rid of them with sanitizers and hand soap. So, I'll start with a virus. What's a virus? Basically, it contains nucleic acid, which is just the genetic material. It's either a DNA or RNA. Contains a protein coat, which encases the genetic material. And some viruses are enclosed by an envelope, which is like a membrane made out of a lipid fatty bilayer. So I mentioned this last podcast, and that, you know, the coronavirus has this extra envelope. It's a little bit different to the other viruses, which just are really tiny and have the protein coat. A bacteria, there are so many different types of bacteria, but I'll just go through basic what they are. They are single cell organisms. They are larger than viruses. Viruses are very, very tiny. They're classified as, get this down, everyone, prokaryotes, which means they're a cell that do not have a nucleus. P-R-O-K-A-R-Y-O-T-E. That's a prokaryote.
And please don't test me on this later.
As opposed to eukaryotic cells, which are basically make up other, like our bodies. So in our cells, we have nucleus in our cells, which contain the DNA in it. A bacteria will be enclosed by two or three layers. So it might have a cytoplasmic membrane, which is the phospholipid lipid bilayer, which is a fatty cell membrane. These provide a bit of a rigid structure to the cell. It could anchor the flagella, keeps the cell from bursting, all the rest. Some have another outer cell capsule, which keeps them from drying out and protects them from being engulfed by other organisms and also by our own immune system. And that's a process called phagocytosis. Mm-hmm. And the bacteria will contain genetic material. It just kind of floats around the cell, either as a nucleoid, it's called, which is just twisted threads of genetic material, DNA or RNA. And it could also have plasmids, which are circles of DNA, and they just swap them between the bacteria when they replicate.
Now, can I just interrupt you and say I'm an expert on this because I watched an episode of Star Trek, the original series, where the Enterprise flies into a single-celled amoeba. So I'm up on this.
Of course it does. Yeah. You've got it. Amoeba are a bit bigger than bacteria, but that's another story. Obviously, this one was a huge one, but anyway.
Don't you contradict my science.
Yes. Just don't go to tardigrades because then I'm going to lose it.
Okay,
anyway.
All right. Go for it. Tell us more.
Okay, so bacteria in the body. Now, most bacteria do not cause infection, but some do. Bacteria are usually helpful to the body. They can help digestion of food, destroy disease-causing microbes, fighting cancer cells, providing essential nutrients, and also making the body less hospitable to other pathogens in our bodies. So really fewer than 1% of bacteria cause disease in people. But when bacteria cause disease, it's usually by a direct contact. So you could eat like contaminated food, such as, you know, if it's contaminated with salmonella and you get unwell. By cutting your skin, for example, and, you know, you haven't washed it, and basically the bacteria just colonize the skin and they cause that infection. And, you know, you have to take antibiotics or an antibiotic cream or something to get rid of it. So basically the bacteria just lives, it manages to get through a barrier in your body, so the skin or some other way, and it just, it's able to live, take over and live, and it causes an immune response, which, you know, makes you sick. So how do we prevent getting infected by bacteria and viruses, especially when it's from our hands, you know, being touching our hands? So first of all, don't touch your face. That is the most important message that's being drummed down our throat at the moment. Don't touch your face.
I have seen so many videos being shared around on the internet. Of politicians here around the world who say, don't touch your face. And then they touch their face while they're talking.
They touch their face. And
it's
me
so hard.
Seeing them, I know. And yesterday I was watching, I think it was the Queensland premier or something. Don't touch your face. Don't touch your face. I'm like, okay. And I'm just like scratching my face because it just makes me want to touch my face.
But yeah, anyway. What happens when you get itchy? You know, I have to scratch, you know,
grab a tissue and scratch with the tissue, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Or go wash your face. Or she goes, wash your hands first and then touch your face. I don't know.
Okay. Just don't touch
practical.
Your face.
Practical. Okay. So let's start with hand sanitizers. So how does a hand sanitizer work? Well, basically the active ingredient in most hand sanitizers that we buy from the shop is alcohol. So it'll be an ethanol or it'll be a propanol or an isopropanol. It's just basically different sizes of alcohol molecules, but they all work the same way. So basically you get the sanitizer, you put it on your hand and you rub your hands with the sanitizer. And the way that the alcohol works is that it denatures the proteins, which means it unfolds and inactivates proteins on the surface of the bacteria or the virus, and it stops them from functioning. So they basically just don't work anymore. So imagine like denaturation. So like you've got egg white, you know, so when egg white is uncooked, it is clear, but when you cook it, it's white, so you've denatured the proteins. Hi, Harry. Okay, just wait a minute and I will talk to you soon, sweetie.
I'll bring Damien later.
Yeah, you can talk to Damien soon. So the alcohol just basically stops the function of bacteria and viruses, and therefore it will stop you from getting infected by them. Now, just to let you know, alcohol doesn't kill all microbes, doesn't kill all bacteria and all viruses. It will kill bacteria such as E. coli. And the good news is it will destroy enveloped viruses, which is, you know, coronavirus is an enveloped virus. It has that bilipid membrane on it. So it will kill it. Now, the important thing to know is that the alcohol has to be at a concentration of about 60%.
Yes.
So if you're looking for a hand sanitizer, look for that 60% concentration. The denaturation works best when it's mixed with a bit of water, the alcohol. And any higher, like it doesn't really work, but and any low it doesn't. So don't think that you could just go get your vodka or your whiskey or something from the cupboard. It's not likely to work as well as a proper hand sanitizer.
Right. Yeah.
So so a few cons then with the hand sanitizer is that it doesn't actually clean the hands. It doesn't get the debris and dirt off your hands. And it's not that effective if your hands are really dirty or greasy, okay? But the pros are that if you've got nothing, it's actually better than not having anything. Like, so use a hand sanitizer. And, you know, it's portable. You can take it around with you. So if you don't have, you know, if your hands are dirty and you've got a sanitizer, use it. It's better than not having anything to wash your hands with. So what about soaps? So here's a bit of a small biochemistry lesson. So soap molecules are made of sodium, potassium salts of fatty acids, and they're reacted with an alkali of either sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide, and they are warmed to a temperature of 80 to 100 degrees, and it's called, this process is called saponification. So it creates a soap. Now in Maltese we say soap is sapun, so there you go, that word saponification, that, you know, it's a bit of a link there for you.
There's language some etymology link for you. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. This process forms long chains of hydrocarbon fatty acid chains, and these are hydrophobic. So they repel water and they bind to fats. And the other side of the chain will have the hydrophilic head, which means it's attracted to water. And so what happens is, due to these properties of the molecule, when you dissolve soap in water, it acts as an emulsifier or a surfactant, and it can actually will, so like imagine you're washing the dishes and you've got something greasy and you put the soap in, all of a sudden you see the fat disappear, like it goes into a ring, and then you mix it all up and you get bubbles of fat, you know. So the soap, you know, it forms little clusters called micelles, and these can just be washed down. So they'll grab the fat and they'll, you know, you can rinse it down with water. And so the idea with soaps is that they're able to dissolve substances that otherwise don't dissolve in water. So what about the killing action of viruses and bacteria? So there's two ways that soaps are really helpful on the skin. So the mechanical action of washing the hands. So, you know, rubbing the soap really well into your hands, making a nice lather into the skin. And because your skin has natural fats on it as well, it'll wash any bacterial viruses that may be clinging onto that.
Right. Yes.
So, and as you mentioned earlier, 20 seconds is the time they recommend for you to wash your hands to get them really clean and to do a thorough job. And
or a Hail Mary.
Singing happy birthday or praying a Hail Mary is about the 20 seconds, or, you know, whatever you want, that last 20 seconds. Basically, just wash your hands for as long as you can. And then, as I mentioned before, the nature of the soap molecule, because these envelope viruses and bacteria have this fatty bilayer in them, the soap molecule is actually able to tear apart these membranes and destroy the virus, such as coronavirus, and which is the SARS-CoV-2 virus, if we're going to name it properly. Yep. And it also, the bacterial cells will just rip apart. So it actually, those two ways are actually really effective. So they work together to, you know, you put the lather off, you lather your hands up, you rinse it off. So you've basically got all the dirt off and you've killed the viruses and bacteria in the process. So what's better? In my opinion, if I'm going to choose one over the other, I would choose soap because, you know, it kills and physically removes. So don't worry about going, if you're just in the home, say if you're at home, don't worry about going and raiding the shops for sanitizer. Go for the soap. You can get a cheap bar of soap. You don't have to have the liquid, you know, luxurious liquid soap. Any old bar of soap will work because it is soap. You know, it's that molecule that I spoke about earlier, and it will dissolve fats down and get all that off your skin. And then I would go for a sanitizer second. But the thing is, if you're going to use a sanitizer, remember that whatever isn't killed stays on your hands. So, you know, you see it on the bottle, kills 99.9% of germs. That's because it doesn't kill everything.
Yep.
So I guess soap, if you're out and about, You can't always wash your hands. You don't always have access to soap, unless I guess there might be wipes out there that have soap in them and you can kind of wash. But, you know, if you're going to, you know, get a water bottle maybe and wash it off, I don't know. But if you're out and about, usually we have sanitizer with us. So I would use sanitizer, and then as soon as you get home, give your hands a good wash with soap.
Wash. Yes. Yeah.
So definitely do that. So, yeah, I mean, you can use these together, you can use one or the other, but really the soap is more effective at doing a good job of killing bacteria and viruses and just getting them, get rid of them on your, off your hands. And don't touch your face.
Yes. Yeah, well, thank you very much for that. And I think that's good. It gives people a lot of peace of mind, because there was, at least initially, a lot of obsession with buying hand sanitizer and it was disappearing. So your humble bar of soap is also really helpful too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, we wanted to share one last thing. And I know that we're, we're about an hour and 20 now. So
Bear with us, guys.
Yeah, I have to apologize to Dom because he has to edit this. So let's throw that in there. We wanted to finish with one more thing. So Archbishop Peter Comensoli is the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Melbourne. And he shared a prayer on the feast day of St. Joseph. And he tweeted the following about it a couple of days later. He said, this is a prayer to St. Joseph, under whose protection I've placed our people and our city. I encourage everyone of faith to pray it. So we thought we'd finish our talking part of the show just by praying this prayer. And then it'll be in our show notes, the prayer itself, and we encourage everyone to pray it. So if you want to make it a daily prayer, another one of your daily habits, a prayer to St. Joseph, asking him to pray for us to protect us from the coronavirus as well. So what is it? Caroline and I will just take turns praying. We'll just do a couple of lines each and we'll do that. So feel free to pray along with us as well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joseph, you were receptive to God working in your life. Help us by prayers at this time of trial.
You kept Jesus and Mary under your watchful care. May your prayers assist our local church to respond to those in need.
You taught the Christ child your trade and prayers. Help us to follow his example of love.
You were a part of God's plan for all humanity. Assist us to be vigilant and responsible this day.
You spent your life in service. May we be mindful of others, particularly the elderly and vulnerable, caring for them in these difficult days.
You trusted in the clear primacy of God over all history and every situation. Help us to grow in faith and pray to the Father, Thy will be done. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we encourage you to share that prayer around and pray it as well. So we want to thank you all for joining us for episode 29 of the Catholics of Oz. Before we go, we want to take a moment to thank so much the patrons who make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and others and the other shows on the network to continue as well. Today, we want to thank Father Jeff, Arthur D, Kevin N, Jacob W, and Jason C. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of the other shows at StarQuest to continue. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. Also, please, we've talked about a lot. Sorry if we kept you for a while to today's episode. But we'd love to know your thoughts on any of the topics. Do you have prayers for spiritual communion? Do you have other prayers that you're praying at this time? What are you doing to keep people around you positive and to look after yourself? There's so much that we talked about. What masses are you watching? What prayers and things are you streaming online that work for you? Have a share with us and tell us, and we'd love to pass those on as well. So you can send us feedback in a couple of ways. One is by going to sqpn.com/Oz, spelt O-Z, and you can find our show notes that we talked about. All the links we mentioned will be there today. And also the show notes are also on your smartphone on the app that you're listening to as well. The show notes are posted there too. You can also visit us at the SQPN Facebook page, I should say, at facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. And this is where all of our episodes and all the other shows are posted. You can leave a comment there. And don't forget a like as well. We also have a Catholics of Oz Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Catholics of Oz. You can join us there and talk about our latest episodes. And we'd love to have you join up and talk to us there. You can also reach us by email at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It was fun as always.
And thank you to everyone who's listening, especially if there are any parishioners from Holy Family Parish that are joining us. We're happy that you're listening, and listen to us in the next 2 weeks when we put out another episode. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant, and thank you for listening to The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.